You guys, stay up here and play, and we'll just go right into worship. I know you guys have been busy. Aren't you thankful for all these guys? Like, five services. Go a little different route, and then we'll just go right back into what we're doing next. I'm not going to keep you long. You can be seated real quick. You can be seated. We've got live water baptisms happening after this. Like, if you want a fresh start, man, that's for you. If you need a change, keep my lights low, too. I want to just make it interesting for me. Change it up for me. You know, it's my fifth time doing this. So with this, every little difference, we're just going to have fun with it. But anyway, if you need a fresh start, like a new beginning, that's what baptism's all about. It's saying my old life's passed away, new life starting right now. And with that, baptism is one of those moments that you can remember. Like, there are times when you make those decisions, but you can't remember when you made that decision. And baptism, it's like a physical item you can hang on to. It's like, okay, that day in August, I got water baptized, and that's where I began to say, you know, God, I'm done with this type of life, and I'm starting a brand new one. I'm done with this type of marriage. I'm starting a brand new one. I'm done with this type of living. I'm starting a new life, and that old life is being washed, and a new life is being empowered by the grace of Jesus. And so with that, that's what water baptism is all about. So after the service, I want you to do that if you need that. And we'll show you a video on what to do, because maybe you're thinking, well, do I do it like this? It's like, well, no, you do it like this, but we're going to give you clothes, and we're going to give you a t-shirt and shorts and all of that you can take home with you. We'll give you a place where you can change in private, and it's just, well, we've got it down to a science now to make it as comfortable for you. So there's no reason in the natural for you not to do it. We've thought of everything. We have a place for you to redo your hair if you want to do that, or all those types of things. The only thing we're waiting on is you. And it's you making a decision. You know what? I'm done with that type of life. I'm believing for a brand new one. We're in this series, and you don't have to worry about the screens other than Proverbs 15:15. We're in this new series on the Lord's Prayer, and basically we're saying the Lord's Prayer is not just a cute prayer to pray. It's a breakdown on how to pray. And I want you, every time you hear the Lord's Prayer, like from now until Jesus comes, when you hear it, I want you to think, that's a teaching. That's not just a prayer. That's a teaching. That's an outline on how to pray. Starts out with Our Father, and that's what we talked about last week. Don't make prayer reserved to the spiritual elite. You're just talking to your Father, and you don't need lights like this. You don't need music like this. You just need you coming to God and asking. And we said so many people don't. They live life frustrated without asking. They live life tired, and they never ask for strength. They live life filled with anxiety, and they never ask for peace. And Jesus is saying, break out of that mold and realize you have a Father who affectionately cares for you. So since He cares for you, ask. Ask. Ask Him for strength. Ask Him for wisdom. When you're confused, ask. Ask Him for clarity. Take the time to ask. He said, everyone who's asking is receiving. You just need to ask. And so what we said is in our life, we want to strip away all the complications to prayer and say, I don't need Kenny G music or a light lit or a candle lit or any of these types of things to get into prayer. Like, I can do it in my car. I can do it in my office. I can do it out loud. I can do it silent. I can do it on my knees. I can do it standing. I can walk and pray. I can do all of these things. But the goal is just a dependency upon God. That's what He's looking for. After Jesus said, Our Father, He said, the first thing that you do after that is you roll up to God with praise and worship. Hallowed be your name. I love this. Hallowed be your name. This word hallowed, it just simply means worthy is your name. Awesome is your name. We worship your name. And we know this for those of us who have like been churched, that you don't just roll up to God and start asking for stuff. You take the time to honor Him. You come into His gates with thanksgiving. You enter into His courts with praise. But I want to make this real to you. And I want worship, this worship part of not just prayer, but also life, to be like your favorite part. Like it's not just something that's like the preliminaries for the preaching. But it's something that's like so life-giving and so enriching that it's like you have to almost have to be pulled out of it into your will be done, and pulled out of it into I need some daily bread, and pulled out of it into I know I need to forgive some people. And you have to be pulled out of it because you're enjoying it so much. And that's what I want this to be for you. as I want this to like transition something in your heart where it's like worship, not just on Sundays, but worship in your own devotional is just something where it's like, yes, that's what I need to pay attention to. A couple of years ago, this journey started for me in a big way. God started dealing with me about joy, and I didn't realize how unjoyful of an individual I was. I thought I was always pretty happy, but the more I studied joy, the more I realized the difference between joy and happiness. And basically, God dealt with my heart, and he said, Joel, you're treating joy like it's a luxury. Like if you have it, it's awesome, but if you don't have it, well, you don't need it because, you know, it's good to be joyful, but it's not really necessary. That, you know, if you have a good day, you can be joyful, or you're with some friends, you can be joyful, or something like really amazing happened, you can be joyful. But in other moments, in other times, you don't really need joy. And for me, it's not that like I wrestle with sadness or depression, and I'm not minimizing any of that if you do struggle with that, because I know many people who do. But with that, for me, I don't get attacked in that area. But what I do get attacked with is being overly serious. Like, I will get serious fast. I'm a focused individual, and so I like to, like, conquer things. And so, like, if I say I'm going to be there at 5, it's like, I don't care who has to go to the restroom. We said we were going to be there at 5, and I don't care if we just said that to ourselves. We must conquer 5 o'clock. We must arrive before 5. And with that, that's kind of the motto I lead with. And so my wife, she has a nickname for that. She calls it Preacher Joel. And she says, this preacher, I'm like, what are you talking about, Preacher Joel? She's like, when Preacher Joel shows up, it's serious Joel. It's like, he's serious. And so she calls it Preacher Joel. And I'm like, why are you calling me that? She says, you're serious. And so like, she even says, like, when I meet new people, she says, my voice changes and it goes deeper. And she's like, that's Preacher Joel. And she'll like call me out in front of the people. It's like, oh, that's Preacher Joel. I'm like, stop it. We'll get in the car. I'm like, you can't do that. They're going to think I'm weird. Like, I've got split personalities or something. You can't do that. And so anyway, but I know she's right. Like, I fall over into these patterns where I am like very, very serious and very, very driven and very, very focused. I'll beat myself up a lot too because of this, because I want to hold myself to such a high standard. And in some ways that's good, but in other ways it's bad. And so with this, I'll go through seasons where I want to accomplish a lot and I'll press after that. And the Lord dealt with me in that season that, you know, when you're pressing into that, oftentimes you lose joy. He said, Joel, don't you see that in moments where it's hard or moments where it's pressing or even moments of affliction, that's the very time where you need joy the most, where you have to count it all joy, because joy is not a luxury. Joy is a spiritual necessity. You need it. The joy of the Lord is your strength, and you need that strength to make it through these times that are more serious. I'm like, well, God, how do you be joyful at all times and count it all joy? I said, it's a little weird to be that guy who's always laughing out loud and LOLing every comment in text and all of those types. No one likes that guy because, you know, everyone knows it's like a measure of it that's not fake and or measure of it's not real. And I don't want to be that guy like who's just that extreme extrovert in the party trying to be the life of it all the time. That's just not me. And the Lord began to show me that joy is different. It's got different degrees to it. That in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's the great love chapter, and it's like God's light hits love, and you see love in all its different dimensions, that love is patient. Love is love, yes, but love is also patient. Love is love, yes, but love is also kind. Love is love, yes, but there's a part of love that suffers long. You see new dimensions, new parts of love. And joy is the same way. When God's light shines upon it, you see a measure of it that is hilarity and laugh out loud. And you can look at it in a group setting. And it's like, that's joy. And I love those types of moments when I encounter them even in my own life. It's like, that's splendid when it's real. Now, when it's fake, it's exhausting. But when it's real, it's like, it's so life-giving. And so there's moments of joy that is like that. But then there's another part of joy, and it's a part that we should all live in. And it's a part that our soul should be settled down in, because out of this place, there is a strength that is ministering life to everyone else, including ourselves. And this part of joy I discovered, I was studying it, trying to figure out how to live a joyful life. And it's just calm delight. That on one side, you have hilarity. But way over here, there's a part of joy that's very livable. You can take up residency in this part of joy, and it's just calm delight. It's just there's this moment in life where you've settled in into the moment, that you're not chasing the next one. You're not looking at the last one, but you've kind of settled into this moment and you've rested in this moment. You've kind of dug in a little deep in this moment. And it's like there's something in this moment that if I wanted to, I could delight in. There's something in this moment that if I chose to see it, when I saw it, I could delight in it. And when you delight in that moment, it fills your soul up with joy. And there's a part of you that realizes just how great your life really is. But then it goes even deeper than that. And it looks at the one who gave you that life. This morning, I was getting changed. And my wife was there. She was prepping for service as well. And, you know, we have this mirror and the countertop. And she does this thing where she sits on the countertop, like on the countertop. She sits on the countertop to, like, do her, I'm getting way too personal. But she's sitting on the countertop, and she's, you know, in the mirror kind of doing her hair and makeup. And I'm sitting on the little edge of the bathtub, and I'm putting on my shoes. And I look up and I see her, and I'm trying to practice this in my own life, like not just chasing the next moment, but kind of being in the moment I am in now and realizing there's plenty of things that in any given moment I could choose to delight in. And I look at my wife and I realize just how beautiful she is, and I realize this overflowing love I have for her. And so I said, honey, I want you to know I love you. And my words, you are beautiful. Good night, girl. You are rocking it. You're beautiful. And I'm playing with her, but I'm serious all at the same time. And she just starts laughing at me. And she says, what's going on with you? And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, what's going on with you? She said, the last couple of days, I've noticed you've just been so more complimentative and giving compliments and those types of things. And I said, you know, I guess I've been studying this so much that I'm just trying to live out what I'm going to tell everyone else to do. But I found myself doing this more in life, that realizing that there are so many things even in this moment that I could just take time with. And if I really chose to, I could so feed on those things that joy would rise up in my heart. I look at guys like Willie, who's playing our acoustic guitar over there, and his wife Hillary. I remember years ago, I saw this guy at a Renaissance hotel. I was staying in Tulsa, Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, getting ready to go to a conference. And he was the guy who was taking the keys for the cars that when you dropped it off at the front desk. And I saw him, and I knew I liked him. I didn't even know who he was or what he did. Didn't even know he was a Ramah student, but I saw him, and I'm like, I like him. Felt the connection in that moment. And I saw him on stage at the conference singing we were at, and I knew there's something about this guy I need in my life. There's something about this guy I need in my church. And then there was this lady who got up next to him who gave her testimony about how she almost lost her voice and doctors told her she may never sing again. And then she gets up and sings this song, and I'm like, that's amazing too. And then I found out they're husband and wife. I'm like, this is too neat. And I see how God linked it up and brought them here, and now they're on our stage, and it's like, wow, that's amazing. I could choose in this moment, if I wanted to delight in that. I was back in between services looking at Instagram. Somebody said, shouldn't you be doing something more spiritual than look at Instagram in between services? No, because I'm tired in between services. I've prayed enough and fasted enough before then that if I'm not ready to preach, something is wrong. It's very, very badly wrong. And I'm looking at Instagram and I see Tabitha, who is also a part of our praise and worship team, who's in Lebanon right now. And we sent a team out of this church from Lebanon to go share the gospel of Jesus. And she's on a stage in front of people there in Lebanon singing and leading them into worship of how great our God is. And it's like, God, that's amazing. If I wanted to, I could delight in that. I could delight in the fact that we have such great gifts. I could delight in that if I wanted to. But so oftentimes we move on so fast to the stuff we want to see changed and the stuff that's not right and the stuff that we want and the stuff that we want to see God move in. And we try to move to the next season of life. And we do it with our kids, if only they can move and if only they could change themselves and go to. And we're constantly progressing into the next season of life. And I don't know if it's because I'm getting older, or I don't know if it's because I just had a birthday, or whatever it may be, but it's these moments where I'm realizing just how precious this life is, and that instead of just chasing after a next season, maybe I ought to slow down and realize that God and His grace has been so amazing in this one that if I eat the sweet of this season, it's the thing that actually gives me the life to go after the next season, and the next season, and the next season, by realizing that the faith comes for believing for my next prayer being answered by realizing God has already answered so many prayers that are in my life right now. So before, Father, give me my daily bread, I pause, pull back and say, you know what, God? Hallowed be your name. You have been amazing in my life, and I see it and I know it and I delight my soul in it in this moment. And I want to encourage you in your life to do that. Looking with eyes that see. In Revelations, these people who thought they were okay, they thought that everything in life was put together, but they weren't admitting to themselves that they were actually wretched. They weren't admitting to themselves that actually their life was falling apart. And on the outside, they were playing the Christian game, but on the inside, they realized it was not right. And one of the things that God said was the cure for this was to put salve on their eyes and salve on their eyes and rub it in so that their eyes could be healed. And I wonder how many people today are not walking around with physical blindness, but are walking around with the blindness of the heart where we are not seeing the goodness of God that is in our life right now. I wonder how many people of us tomorrow morning will go and go to a job that we have lost the wonder of the provision of God and opening up that job to us. I was praying with a lady after prayer on Saturday, two Saturdays ago. And her husband have started coming to the church. You're from India. And I love the nation of India. And so whenever I see anyone from India, I'm like, I like you. I don't even know you, but I like you. Because God has just tied my heart into that culture. And there's such a beauty about it. It's just a land of adventure. And anyway, so I was talking to her, and she said she had just lost her job. And the problem with it was at the end of the month of August, she had to verify employment. In order to stay in the country. And they have two kids that they've already started raising here. So it's like, if we don't get a job, and I thought I would have a job, and my husband thought he'd have a job, but he's been out of work for 5 months. And if we don't have a job, then, you know, we could get deported. And we've got to have it within the next couple of days. And so she asked, will you pray for me? And I'm like, absolutely, I'll pray for you. So we start praying. And the whole time I'm praying, I get a word in my heart, just a word of knowledge. I guess actually a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge knows what has been or what is. A word of wisdom knows what will be. And I said, you know, the whole time I'm praying, I just get that story of Joseph in my heart. How Joseph was in prison and it looked like he'd never get out, but someone remembered Joseph and talked about Joseph in the ears of someone who could change Joseph's condition. And I just feel impressed that someone's going to remember you, just like that butler remembered Joseph. And when they remember you, they are going to talk about you in the ears of someone who can change your situation. And so I said, let's just agree with that and speak that God's word will come to pass in your life. And so we said that, we agreed on it. Well, she came and found me this Saturday, and she's like, Pastor Joel, exactly what you said would happen took place. I'm like, I didn't say it was the Lord saying it. I'm just the FedEx delivery guy. And with this, she's like, on Tuesday, I got this phone call from this person, and basically it all lined up where they can stay in the country, and it was like God just showed himself so strong. So we're rejoicing over that. Her husband is next to her. Her two kids are there, and he's like, Pastor Joel, I need some prayer. I've been out of a job for 5 months, and you know, that prayer works. So basically, you know, can we pray another? I'm like, well, let's do it. So we hooked up in prayer, and I start praying. And the whole time I'm praying this time, I'm thinking about, like, how many people on Monday morning are going to go to a job that they have complained about for months, for months, and this guy and me are actually praying for their job. Like, he would do anything to have the very job so many people have but don't see. They have it, but they're not seeing it. It's in their life, but they're not seeing it as a part of their life because it has lost its wonder in their eyes, because there's something in that moment that is wrong, and they're focusing on the one thing that is wrong instead of the paycheck on the 15th and the 1st that this guy so desperately wants so that he can provide for his family. We lose the wonder of life. We can have children, but then we lose the wonder of children. We can have a marriage, but then we lose the wonder of marriage. We get a job and we lose the wonder of it. We see provision. God came through. And we eat the sweet of that for a couple of weeks, but we lose the wonder of it. And friend, what I want to encourage you in your life right now is, I know there are some things that are probably not quite right. But I also know in your life that there are some things that, if you really thought about it, are worthy of praise, are worthy of worship. A couple of weeks ago, we were doing staff prayer. And basically, we do like a staff devotional, because I understand that most of the people who are on staff, when they come to church, they're not really being ministered to by the church because they're working for the church. And so the whole time they're thinking about all the intricacies involved to minister to all of you. And so I know it's important for me to not just be their boss, but to be their pastor too, which oftentimes is hard because, you know, anyway. But anyway, so I'm up there and I just begin to share what God had put on my heart, which was very similar to this message. And the scripture that the Lord gave me was Proverbs 15 and verse 15. They'll put it up on the screens for that particular morning. And it is just this. It says, "All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast." And I was reading Proverbs and I saw that. And I thought, that's a great scripture. And I kept reading past it. But it's something in my heart wouldn't let me get away from the scripture. And so I thought, well, okay, that's going to be the scripture I meditate on the day, for the day. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who has a merry heart hath a continual feast. Proverbs 15, 15. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who has a merry heart hath a continual feast. Proverbs 15, 15. So that's what I do. I meditate. I just say it over and over. I want it in me. And so anyway, I got to thinking about that verse. And it's like, wait a minute. All the days of the afflicted are evil. All the days? What about the day you did get the job? How could that be an evil day? What about the day you got married? How could that be an evil day? All the days of the afflicted are evil. And then I had something brought to my remembrance from the Holy Spirit. I'm like, I get it. See, a couple of years ago, well, a couple, 11 years ago, when I got married, the day of my wedding, I am marrying like this beautiful, amazing woman, like the most amazing woman in the world, and her testimony of how God hit her in the cleft of a rock until I met her was just amazing, and like she was just perfect for me, and the season of life that I was going into is just hand-in-glove type situation. So with this, it's a wedding. It's done in my mom's backyard, which doesn't sound that interesting, but my mom had a pretty nice backyard. It had a little lake, and so we got married on the lake, and there's a dock that we got married off of. My wife, how I engaged to her, is she always wanted to like go to the beach and stand out on a balcony and see "Will You Marry Me" written in the sand. And so I knew I didn't know how to pull off taking her to the beach without it being weird. And so I thought, I'll bring the beach to her. So me and my brother-in-law, Ryan, we got a lot of plastic, and we put the plastic up all over this pier. And then we got like, I forget how many tons of sand. And we got the sand and put it in the back of my car. Like, you should have seen my car. It looked like a lowrider, man. And it wasn't on purpose. I'm like, my springs are definitely broken after this. We put all of the sand in, and we drug the sand down onto the dock. We opened up the sand, and I wrote in the sand, "Will you marry me?" in big enough letters so that when she stood at the top, come on, somebody, so when she stood on the top of the hill, she could see, "Will you marry me?" written in the sand. So we got married off of that dock, so it was kind of a special, special moment. So it's exciting all the way around. It's my wedding day, so I'm excited. Before I walk out, like, it's like all this stuff is beautiful and right and perfect. But before I walk out, like, I am literally about to have an emotional breakdown. which is bad because I'm not an emotional guy, so I don't know how to process this. It was like a foreign emotion because, like, that's not me. But, like, it's so, like, grief is so overwhelming me, it almost got debilitating. Like, I got nasty sad. Have you ever seen nasty sad before? It's like snot is everywhere, and, I mean, it's just nasty. And so, anyway, that's how sad I was. I was nasty sad. And I'm standing, I'm like, what is going on? All the days of the afflicted are evil. All the days of the afflicted are evil. All the days of the afflicted are evil. Every one of them, all the days of the afflicted are evil. And it's like in this moment, I kind of pulled back from it and I realized the reason why I was so upset was because I got like all this stuff in my life that is right and good and pure and godly and wonderful and worthy of praise. But there was something in my life that wasn't quite right. And what my soul was focused on in that moment, what my focus was fixed on in that moment was the fact that my father is not here. My father had passed away a couple of years before then. He was the pastor of this church. I kept thinking about how amazing it would have been if he would have done the ceremony. I kept thinking about how amazing it would have been to see them interact together, because like I know her personality and I know his personality, and I know that I would just love nothing more than to sit in a room and watch them talk. Because he loved to make people laugh, and she loved to laugh, and so I knew this would have been like a dynamic pairing. And I'm thinking about all of this on this day, and with this, my focus is so on that, that it is making a glorious day an evil day. It is making a glorious moment an evil moment. It is making a great moment one that is just a bad moment. And it's not because the moment is bad, or God is bad, or people are bad. It's that my focus is bad. I am picking the one thing in my life that is not right instead of the 10,000 things in my life that are right, that are God, that are pure, that are holy, that are wonderful. And it was like God was saying to me, Joel, don't you see? All the days of the afflicted are evil. And I learned something valuable on that day, and I never will forget it. That in any moment, my focus determines my feelings. And I have a choice on every day. What am I going to major on? Am I going to major on what's wrong, or am I going to major on what's not quite right? I took a glorious day, man, and was this close to goofing it up because of focus. And I want to encourage you in your own life that even in a negative time, you can have a continual feast. And it's not because everything is great or wonderful. It's because in that moment you choose to dwell on the positive and allow your mind to be filled with that, so that your soul begins to delight in all that is right instead of being frustrated with all that is wrong, and joy begins to well up in you. And out of that place, I want you to give praise and thanksgiving. See, because most people don't do it right. They go through the motions of praise. They sing the songs. They lift the hands, but nothing. That's as much as it gets. And it's like the prophet Isaiah, your hands are doing the right things, your mouth is singing the songs, but your heart is far from me. And that's what matters. For man sees on the outward appearance, but God, he sees the heart. And when we come to God with thanksgiving, it is where we pull back and we see just how good he is. I'm trying to do that more. I want you to do it more. What has God given you that's in your life, but you're not seeing it because you're looking at something else? Who is in your life that you're not seeing because you're looking at who is not in your life? What is right in your life that you're not seeing because you're looking at what is wrong in your life? But what if you took what was right, and though it wasn't perfect, but like the guy who had two talents, you said, I know this is all that's in my hand, and I know it's not quite five talents, but what you put in my hand, I will take and I will magnify like it's four. I will take this and I will say, thank you, Father, and I will treat it like it's actually more than it is. I will take two and turn it into four. I think God comes after that and he says, look at them. They've taken two and made it four. I think I'll give them more. They've taken two and made it four. I think I'll give them more. Instead of looking at, I wish I had five. Instead of looking at, I wish I had more. They've taken two and made it four. I think I'd give them more. Instead of delaying joy until they get the job. Instead of delaying joy until they get the marriage. Instead of laying Thanksgiving until it all turns around. Look at them. They've taken two. They've made it four. I think I'll give them more. Instead of delaying all of the reasons to express extravagant worship and praise, they've taken two and they made it four. I think I'll give them more. And in my own life, I want to be that way instead of the guy who had one talent that God gave him and burying it, knowing exactly where it is, but living every day without seeing it. How many of us have kids that we don't see? Spouses we've not seen anymore. We've gotten so familiar with it, it's killed our honor. Jobs we've gotten so familiar with that it's killed our honor. Income we've gotten so familiar with that it's killed our honor. People we've gotten so familiar with that it's killed our honor. Friend, I want to encourage you the same way the Lord encouraged me. See it. Embrace it. Honor it. Love it deeply and express thanks to God in such a way that stirs and captivates the soul, so that when you give God that hallowed be your name, it is not a hollow hallowed, but it is a hallowed that is filled with honor and thanksgiving, because we have eyes that see just how amazing God really is. Hallowed be your name. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for these amazing people. What a joy it is to preach to them. You've given me your very best in these people, and I thank you, Lord, for it. And Father, my prayer is that in each and every one of their lives, that you would give them eyes that see just how blessed they are. That you would give them eyes that see just how good you have been to them. And let thanksgiving and joy well up in their hearts. And let them offer it up to you as a sacrifice of praise. We love you, Father. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Now, I mentioned we have water baptism. I can't wait for this moment for some of you. And if you're confused as to what you do, we have a video that wants to show you exactly what to do so that you know exactly what your next steps may be. Before you watch that video, let me say how awesome it is to share moments like these with you. I think you're amazing. And I just couldn't be more honored that you would choose to worship here at Word of Life. This video is going to show you your next steps for water baptism. After that video, we're going to sing a song that's just fun, and it's talking about how God can change us in the water. And we're going to honor God with that song and what he's about to do in the lives of those who are going to be water baptized. But just know, God loves you. He has a plan for you. And I can't wait to see you again soon. Let's turn our attention to the screens, and we'll go from there. Thank you, God.